Do you feel like once you start eating, you can't stop? Are you eating healthy salads all day, but then binging on junk like pizza and cookies at night? Are you having cravings even after eating a full meal? If so, you're probably doing things like trying to be more mindful at mealtime, understanding your triggers, or processing past experiences and painful emotions through things like therapy and journaling. And if these things have been helpful, but they haven't stopped the behavior, there's a reason for that. It's because these tools are designed to help build more awareness around why you binge, but they're not designed to actually stop the behavior. So if you want to know what does stop the behavior, then sign up for my free 3-part series called Wired for Weight Loss, where I'm going to be sharing my 4-step roadmap that me and my students have used to stop binge eating and achieve as much as 70 pounds of lasting weight loss. So go to rashondyates.com/eatwithbalance to sign up, and I'll see you on the training. Hi, welcome back to the Ending Your Binge Eating podcast. I'm Rashonda Yates, and this is the place where binge and comfort eaters come to break free from binge eating once and for all and have more confidence and energy and peace and freedom with food. And today I want to talk about how to stop procrastinating. So this expression is, when I first heard it, I thought it was so funny and so apt. You know, if you are like many women who struggle with binge eating, chances are you found yourself procrastinating by snacking, binge eating, comfort eating. We've all been there, putting off, you know, some important task or some just difficult task, you know, making an important phone call, taking action and being brave on something that is really important to us, like starting a business. And, you know, when we put things off, that pressure builds up, we become overwhelmed, we feel stressed out, and we find ourselves eating to soothe the stress and the overwhelm. And today, what I want to talk about is, you know, what to do when we find ourselves procrastinating and how to stop it. And I'm going to share, you know, some of the common misconceptions that come up when we get into this behavior, this pattern, and what we need to do instead. The number one shift that we can make, or the number one skill that we need to develop in order not only to stop procrastinating and binge eating, but also to really do what it is that we are here to do in the world. So let's go ahead and dive in. So the first thing I want to share is just that, you know, I can completely 100% relate to this. And here are some of the things that I used to get into when it comes to this behavior. So the first thing is I would just put off work. I used to be a teacher, and I, you know, if you have worked in education or you know someone who's a teacher, you know that really when you're in session during the school year, you work a lot. You know, you bring often homework home, you have papers to grade. There's a lot of planning outside of actual instructional hours. So there's a lot of, you know, planning and work that needs to be put in to have a successful school year. But I would often put my work off and off and off and off until the point where, you know, I would have this huge pile of work in front of me. And the thing is that, you know, I would get so stressed out because I kept putting it off. And that stress would often lead to overwhelm. Now, where I am currently, I am in a completely different career, and it requires a lot of taking risks, getting out of my comfort zone, doing things that make me uncomfortable. And so now it's oftentimes like not reaching out to, you know, someone who might be able to help me reach more people. Sometimes I might hesitate to put out a post on social media because I'm afraid of what people are going to think about it, or, you know, what my colleagues, you know, other experts, so to speak, in the industry might think. But these are the kind of things, but it's the same feelings of stress and overwhelm. And what I used to do was, you know, I would get into procrastination and I would put it off and put it off and put it off. And then I would start having cravings over it. And those cravings were coming up because of the fact that I was procrastinating, and but yet I would feel like the need to eat in order to comfort myself from the stress, when if I had just taken action in the first place, I wouldn't have felt the stress. And so it becomes this pattern, it becomes a cycle where, you know, you are putting things off maybe to the last minute and then trying to hurry up and, you know, make something happen. And then you're stressed out, which leads to the cravings. And then you give in and it's the beating yourself up. I can't believe I just did that again. How could I do this? You know, how can I keep doing this? How can I expect to help others, serve others, take care of others when I'm doing this in my own life, when I'm doing this behavior in my own life? And so then we get into the beating ourselves up. Okay. And so again, this is something that I can completely relate to. And this is something that I hear from every single person that I've ever worked with, to be honest. I mean, literally everyone. And so one of the things I want to do is just normalize the fact that this happens to everyone, you know? And so what do we normally do when it comes to procrastinating and binge eating in general? What we start doing is we start beating ourselves up. We start thinking, oh, I need more willpower. Oh, I'm not disciplined enough. Oh, I am a bad person because I keep repeating this behavior. Something's wrong with me. Why can't I just do X, Y, or Z? And, you know, I've been helping women. I've helped hundreds of women now, but at this point, with, you know, having more compassion for themselves. So I have to ask you now, with love, if beating yourself up hasn't helped you till now, do you think that beating yourself up is going to start getting you the results that you want now? Of course not, you know? And yet we are so quick to beat ourselves up. And the thing is, you know, I can tell someone else, I can tell you right now on this podcast, I can very easily say, hey, just, you know, stop that right now because it's not serving you. And yet in my own life, it's so easy for me to slip into that behavior, you know? So I do get it, but it's not serving you. And what it does is when we beat ourselves up, we actually get into a cycle of guilt and shame. And when we get into this cycle of guilt and shame, that actually keeps us trapped in the very behavior that we're trying to break free from. So we must just stop beating ourselves up because it's not serving us. And if you're like most women who listen to my podcast, you're probably wanting to be present in your life. You're probably wanting to be authentic and to really be honest with yourself and honest with the people in your life and show up courageously in your life. You want to be able to have, you know, honest conversations with your partner, with your children. You want to be able to be your best self in your relationships and in whatever it is that you're working toward in your life. And this behavior of eating for comfort really gets in the way. And, you know, what we tend to do, the mistake that we normally make is that we start thinking, okay, I need more willpower. I need to be more disciplined. You know, I just need to have more self-control. And it's not a matter of being, of having more willpower, or having more discipline or more self-control, but it's really a matter of learning to be comfortable in discomfort. Because as someone who, you know, the fact that you're here listening to this podcast means that you are interested in growth. You're interested in developing yourself. And in order to do that, you already know that that means getting out of your comfort zone. And so when it comes to breaking free from binge eating, the number one skill that you can cultivate is the skill of being comfortable in discomfort. Because when we can be comfortable in discomfort, that's when we get out of our comfort zone and into the growth zone. And so this is really what I am teaching women to do inside the, as part of my embodiment method. Pillar 3, mastery of self-control, is really where this skill is really cultivated and developed. But what I want to share with you right now, as you're listening to this podcast, is there is one main skill that you can start to cultivate right this moment that we've talked about multiple times during the run of this podcast, which is to simply allow your cravings instead of resist them. So let me explain what I mean by this. So we've talked about how cravings or urges, they're literally sensations in the body, whether you realize it or not. They are physiological sensations, emotions that we are having. It is something that creates tension in our body. And the reason why we act on urges and on cravings is because we are trying to get out of that feeling of tension that is building up. And when we act on the craving and it, you know, the tension goes away, and then it feels comforting to us. And what we're not realizing is that the reason we have that tension in the first place is only because of the craving. And we've talked about that when you don't act on that urge, the habit dies on its own. But what we usually do is we have a thought that, say, you know, I want cookies or something like that. I want ice cream. And what we tend to do is we immediately start to resist it, and we start to say, no, I'm not going to have that. I told myself I wasn't going to eat that today. I've had enough, or I'm not hungry. I'm already full. You know, I'm trying to watch what I eat. And we start to try and just resist it or fight it. And what happens is when we start to resist it, it starts to persist. And the tension grows and grows and grows. But if we can instead just allow it, and this is really counterintuitive, and it's often something that, you know, it's a leap for women to make. can feel scary because it's new. Whenever, anytime we're doing something new, our brain is going to want to fight against that to keep us in our comfort zone, to keep the status quo. But we so often think that it's either or. We think either I have to deprive myself and just grit my teeth and bear it and suffer. Maybe I'll come back to that later. Or, you know, we have to just completely go crazy, give in to everything and just let ourselves, you know, eat whatever we want. And what we don't realize is that there is this middle ground. There's a third option, you know, and it is not either or. There is a gray area, so to speak. And so when we can actually turn toward the experience of an urge, that's when we can actually begin to have influence over our actions. We have choice. We can start to eat in a way that aligns with our own values and our own goals, desires for ourselves. And what this requires, again, is the ability to be comfortable in discomfort. Because the fact is that an urge is uncomfortable by nature. That's why we want to get out of it, you know? Just like pain and suffering of any kind, when we just want to get out of it, and so we start to resist it, it just increases it. But if we can instead learn, if we can develop a skill, a habit, a bias towards being with the discomfort, instead of trying to get away from it by numbing it or avoiding it with food, that's when we can literally do anything. You know, not only will we have control in our relationship with food, and the funny thing about that is the other side of that coin is freedom. So we often think that it's either control or freedom, and it's actually two sides of the same coin. But that's for another episode. But, you know, we'll also be able to do what matters to us because we're no longer so focused on trying to manage our food. And we're no longer consumed with the energy of beating ourselves up because of what we ate the day before or at the last meal. So this is the power of embodiment, of really being able to be with any emotion that comes, whether quote-unquote positive or quote-unquote negative, and being able to just rest in any amount of discomfort. Because when we can do that, that's when we're not in fight or flight reaction mode. We actually are in a place where we can calm down, our prefrontal cortex can come online, and we can make a choice that serves our future self. So I want to wrap this up here. I'm trying to keep these episodes less than 25 minutes. But, you know, today we talked about how being comfortable in discomfort is really the number one skill that you can cultivate when it comes to breaking free from binge eating. And how we can do that, we can start to do that by turning toward the discomfort that we're feeling, by just allowing it to be and to really observe it and to really, really embrace it. And we talked about the mistake that you definitely want to stop right away that most of us make is beating ourselves up. And how self-compassion, will serve you in breaking free from binge eating in the long run. So, you know, instead of trying to use willpower, which is only just, you know, it might work for a short while, start to cultivate self-compassion, which is not a quick fix. It's not a band-aid solution, but it will give you the long-term permanent results that you're looking for. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. If you gained any insight, come and see what's happening over on Instagram at Rashonda Yates. I love getting your DMs and your comments and just interacting with you over there. All right. And I will catch you on the next episode of the Ending Your Binge Eating Podcast. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you have gained any value from this episode or from the podcast in general, then I would really appreciate it if you would leave a review on iTunes. It is such a big help. It helps me to reach more people. And if you did gain any insights, I would love to hear your takeaways and how you're implementing these tools. Over on Instagram, you can follow me at Rashonda Yates and send me a DM and let me know what you are using, what you're taking away from the episode, what your ahas are, things that you're seeing differently. I love having conversations with you over there. And until next time, I'll catch you on another episode. Bye.